T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
11 o'clock, Sports Radio 94, WIP. Joe Giglio in for Joe DeCamera alongside John Ritchie, James Seltzer. This is the Midday Show, 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all the Sixers conversation here. I am concerned about this team. John is not. Right now, though, we have to go out to our guest line, talk to Elliot Shore Parks of the Go Birds podcast, along with James Seltzer and, of course, 94WIP.com. Elliot with us now to talk a little Eagles. Elliot, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Elliot.
How's it going?
Super.
It's going good.
Excited after that game last night, I'm sure.
Wow.
Yeah, we're just – I'm trying to not lose my mind over here.
Off.
Yeah, it's not working out great so far.
No, it is not. Last night was a major problem for this team. So hopefully they turn it around.
Hopefully they do. And hopefully, you know, as time goes on here, we have more things to be excited about with the Sixers, with the Phillies, and obviously the Eagles not too far away. Elliot, your thoughts on the signing yesterday, Nick Mullins to come and add to the quarterback room.
I don't like it. I mean, I'll say off the top, it doesn't really matter, right? I mean, if they get to their third quarterback, no matter who it is, the season's in major trouble. And not many teams have a good third quarterback. I guess you can make the argument he's one of the better third quarterbacks in the league. But I would have just rather seen a younger guy there, like an undrafted rookie, like a Jamie Newman. I mean, they brought him in and cut him, so maybe he was not the answer, clearly. But I'd rather see more of a developmental guy than somebody who we kind of know what he is. He's not very good. He can make some throws. I mean, maybe he keeps you in one game, but he's just, at the end of the day, not very good. So I didn't like it.
What do you make of the idea that he is a completely different quarterback than Jalen Hurts? You know, we're not going to be able to run a similar offense with Nick Mullins that we run with Jalen Hurts. Do you read into that at all?
Well, it's interesting. So he's also, I mean, Joe Flacco is also not the same. You know, he's not as mobile as Jalen Hurts. Now, I will say Jalen Hurts is a guy that, in my opinion, can win from the pocket. So I don't think their plan is going to be to have Jalen Hurts run all the time. I think they're going to try to have him win from the pocket, and then he'll be able to escape with his legs. They'll definitely do some read option type stuff, which Nick Mullins and Joe Flacco can't do. So, yeah, I don't think it makes much sense. I also think it's just a weird combination to have Flacco and Nick Mullins. Again, I think a third quarterback that was more of a developmental, undrafted rookie type guy would have made a lot more sense there.
Is the win from the pocket thing for Jalen Hurts like a recent development that happened this offseason? Because I don't remember feeling confident about that.
Well, yeah, I know you haven't felt confident about it. I have. I thought he showed last season that he can win from the pocket. Again, he was a rookie with no training camp. You know, he came in late in the season. So I thought that he showed enough flashes last season of being able to win from the pocket. I mean, he was, I believe, the second most accurate quarterback in the draft class last year coming out of college. So he is extremely accurate. Last season, he looked at 52% completion percentage. I don't believe is an accurate depiction of how accurate he was. He had multiple really nice throws from the pocket. I mean, the touchdown pass to Alshon Jeffrey against the Saints was an elite-type throw. So I do believe he can win from the pocket.
I saw that you're definitely higher on Jalen Hurts than I am. I saw that you made a list. You ranked the quarterbacks, and Jalen Hurts ended up 13th. What were the priorities that you ranked these quarterbacks on?
So I ranked the list basically saying, if I was starting a team today, where would I pick these quarterbacks, right? So Patrick Mahomes was number one. He is the obvious, you know, super talented, young, all those things. I mean, he's clear-cut number one. Guys like Aaron Rodgers were a little lower down simply because of their age. But Jalen Hurts came to in 13th on my list because I really do believe that he has everything you would look for in a quarterback to develop. He has a strong arm. He has an accurate arm. He's mobile. We saw last year he can create on the fly when he has to. He has those intangibles. He's performed at the highest level of college football. So is he a perfect prospect? No, right? And he's going to have to develop. Jalen Hurts is going to have to play better than he did last year for this team to be good, much like Carson in 2017 had to play better than he did in 2016. So I just think with Jalen Hurts, when you look at the youth and the skill set, and not to mention he's on a rookie contract, he's one of the most desirable, in my opinion, quarterbacks to build around in the league.
I was really surprised that you had him ahead of Matthew Stafford. What was the thinking on that?
Well, Matthew Stafford's way older, right, number one. So if I'm building a team and I'm taking, you know, more than just one season into consideration, then I think Jalen Hurts' age is a huge part in that. Jalen Hurts, I believe, is more of a threat on the ground, which in today's NFL to me is
definitely
very big. But and I like Matthew Stafford, don't get me wrong, but Matthew Stafford, I don't believe, has ever won a playoff game, or maybe he won one in his entire career, and I know he's been with the Lions. But, look, if you're a really good quarterback, you know, you can win. I'm a big quarterback win-loss guy. So I like Stafford. Yeah, I think he came in 14th or 15th on there. I just am not as big on him to, like, build around.
He's going to win this year.
Well, he has an opportunity,
we'll
certainly.
See. He better win this year, yeah.
We'll find out if he's a winner. Elliot Shurpark's with us right now talking some Eagles. Elliot's list on 94WIP.com on quarterbacks to build around. Jalen Hurts came in, what, number 13, Elliot? 14?
Yep, 13th.
Yeah, so when I was looking at your list, the one thing that stood out to me, and you kind of hit on it there talking to John about age and contract, right? The rookie contract, if you can play or you have ability or potential, it's a big advantage. And what you wouldn't want with a quarterback to build a team around is expensive and not good. So as I scrolled to the bottom of the list, our old buddy was there. Where'd you have Carson Wentz?
Yeah, he came in at 30th on my list. And I think he had the trifecta of what you don't want in a quarterback. Very expensive. Might not be that good, and a serious injury history, right? I mean, maybe Carson turns it around. We'll see. But if I'm building a quarterback and I'm just looking at resumes, like, Carson's resume is not good. His resume in Philadelphia was not good. He had one really good stretch in 2017, and then he was good at the end of 2019. But overall, he ended his time as a quarterback here 35-32-1, no playoff wins, max deal, two major injuries, and, you know, was the worst quarterback in the league last year. So, who knows? We'll see what he does in Indianapolis. Anything's possible. But if I'm starting my team, there are way, way, way more quarterbacks I would rather have than Carson Wentz.
Elliot, do you have any more information on the team's plan with Zach Ertz now that there are reports out there that the tight end coach is talking to him and they're getting along well? What are they going to do here?
So at this point, maybe they do bring him into training camp. I mean, because you've waited this long, right? I mean, there's nothing really that's going to change in the next 6 weeks. Teams aren't even practicing. So, you know, an injury is unlikely. If you bring him into training camp, whether he reports, I don't know. But if you bring him into training camp, at least then if there is another injury, maybe you get a little bit more. I would advise the Eagles just to, if you're going to move on from him, like you've made that decision, to just do it. Don't bring the distraction into training camp. Let Dallas Goedert be the leader in that tight end room. Make him so he's getting those snaps at the number one tight end. I mean, if they bring Ertz in, are they going to split snaps with Goddard? Are they going to make Ertz the starter? Like, how are they going to handle that? So I would just move on from him. If that's what they're planning on doing, I would do it before training camp and not try to get, you know, a slightly better pick by bringing him in.
Let me ask both you guys this, because I've had a theory for a while, and I can't get a straight answer on why this couldn't happen. Like, it seems like the perception is that Zach Ertz is in control of this situation. He's not. Like, the Eagles hold the power here. Like, Zach Ertz isn't a quarterback. Like, Elliot, if the Eagles just don't do anything, he's going to have to show up at some point. He needs to play to earn his next contract, even if he doesn't want to be here. I can't imagine a tight end is going to have a lengthy training camp holdout.
I agree. And, I know you wrote this for the website, and I agree with you on this. I would just bring him back. Like, that would be, if I was Howie Roseman, I would bring Zach Ertz back. I think he makes the team better. Nick Sirianni talks a lot about building the culture. If Zach Ertz came in here with the right attitude, I think he would be beneficial in that. But to your point, although I will say they did something similar with Malcolm Jenkins, where he came back for a year and then they got rid of him after a contract dispute. And he was, you know, a great leader that season. So I think that Zach could be that type of guy in terms of a leader. But when I look at the situation, I think the main reason he doesn't want to come back is because he's going to be the backup at this point. And so maybe that would be ugly, but at the end of the day, he makes your roster better. Like, they're a better team with Zach Ertz on it, and I think they're going to be competing for a playoff spot, and having Zach Ertz is going to help.
Jeez. I don't think
it works.
And I don't
believe he holds out. Sorry, just to answer your question. I don't believe he will hold out for a lengthy time.
See, I think it's, like, established that he will. Somehow we've gone from there's absolutely no way Zach Ertz is back,
right,
to just because the Eagles have done a poor job of figuring out what to do with them, just because Howie has been greedy in what he's asking in return, we're now saying that Zach is going to be here, that
but
he's
Zach,
cool with that.
Zach
last year played the most horrible football he's ever played.
Agreed.
Because he was unhappy with the organization.
Oh, well,
he is even more unhappy with the organization now.
But the clock's ticking on his career. If he doesn't,
and we owe him $8.5 million.
If he doesn't come in and play, no one gives him a contract after the season. His only chance to get a contract ever again is to play well again, here or anywhere else. So if the Eagles just say, "Hey, Zach, here's your locker, here's your spot," what's he going to do?
I think it's
and not to mention, I think that, you know, just from having covering Zach his whole career with the Eagles, I just don't think he is the type of person that would hold out. Right? Like, Malcolm Jenkins didn't hold out. There's just certain guys that, when you're that just wouldn't do it. So I don't believe he'll hold out. Not to mention that this all began because of financial problems, right? I mean, but not problems, obviously, but financial dispute between the two sides. And if he doesn't come, like, they will fine him. I don't think this is a situation where they'll just let him not come and not fine him. I do think they'll fine him, so I do think he'll show up.
Don't you think there's the problem, though, in this treatment of this player, like the mismanagement of this player, a guy who is an all-time Eagle, and who no longer wants to be here? I mean, it is a problem in my mind that they're basically – they've gotten to the point now where it's either show up or we fine you. This is Zach Ertz. I don't know, man. It is a fine line, but it's pretty messed up what it's come to.
I do agree with you. I think that he is an all-time Eagle, and I think that at this point, the difference in what you're getting from draft compensation is going to be negligible, right? So I would just release him. I would have released him prior to the start of the new league year, so he would have had a better chance to go get another job somewhere else with more money.
Exactly.
But, you know, at the same time, if they do end up trading him for a third or fourth round pick, which I believe is unlikely, but I also didn't think they'd get a first round pick for Sam Bradford. So I think we have to see what they end up getting before we can say if they mismanaged it or not.
Elliot, always appreciate you hopping on. We're going to go back to yelling about Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, but we thank you for some Eagles insight, and we'll talk soon.
Can't wait. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, Elliot.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks here. 215-592-9494. The Ertz thing is interesting, and I know you and Joe have talked a lot about it. Just quickly, then we'll get right back to the Sixer stuff. I agree with your larger point that if they were trying to do the right thing, they would have released him before free agency, given him a chance to sign. But now, I mean, I don't think Zach is some sort of victim here. He's going to make $8.25 million to come play for the Eagles. I mean, the guy cried at the end of the season how much he loves Philadelphia. There's a locker for you. There's a spot on the roster. There's $8.25 million. Zach, get into camp. And if you don't want to be here, stay home. Like, I'm not going to shed a tear if he holds out.
The problem is that option for me doesn't work. I don't think you get the return on your $8.5 million.
But the money spent already.
I understand.
Like, they're cap compliant. It's not like it's March and they need to get under the cap.
It's actually, I looked at his contract yesterday. It ends up being more than what that base salary is. I mean, they're going to owe him 12 something.
It's the largest tight end cap hit in the league.
Yeah. And that's that is not. That doesn't align with what I expect to get from Zach Ertz.
I agree on that.
Year.
I agree.
And when you're as cap-strapped as we are, that this has turned into such a mistake from a personal perspective, like interpersonal perspective, dealing with an all-time great, and from just a financial perspective. We can't afford this. That's broken.
Let me say this. Like, let's say you're having money troubles, right? And you bought something that was expensive and you don't really need it, and it's sitting in your house. Do you throw it away on principle? No, it's already bought. You already paid the money for it. It's there. Just leave it there. Make better decisions next time.
When you could have saved money on that when you could have gotten a part refund or whatever.
I know, but you already made the bad purchase.
His cap hit's going to be 12.7.
It's crazy. It is a crazy, crazy number. All right, 215-592-9494. Back to the phone lines here, and we do have a four-pack of tickets to see the Reading Fightin' Phils versus the Rumble Ponies on Saturday, June 26th. Give us a standout performance to get in the mix. Anthony Ardmore is up. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, what's up, Joe? How you doing, buddy?
Good, Anthony. What's on your mind, man?
Man, last night I was so excited in the beginning, but, dude, I was sick to my stomach, and then driving in to work today, I was real upset, and then my day cheered up knowing that the camera wasn't in. Oh, hey, Richie, I got a question for you. My daughter keeps asking, do you have any requests for her?
Any requests?
Guitar requests.
Oh, geez.
And singing. Remember I sent you the email?
No, I didn't see it. Request.
No, you responded to it.
Well, no, I remember. I watched her videos. She's really talented. She should check out Jewel. Jewel was a big favorite of everyone in the 90s, and she was a really talented singer. So she should look into that catalog.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Anthony, who's your standout performer other than your daughter, who sounds like she is a gifted singer? Who you got?
Well, she is. She is a standout performer, but probably not going to win, but I got to go with it. He does it every day. James Seltzer,
a standout performer. John, what's your ruling on
this? Yeah, it's probably not going to be a winner. You know?
I mean, you're in the mix,
though. I'd vote for him.
I mean, I'm looking at the list right now. I mean, the Beatles, Jimi Hendrix, Nick Foles, James Seltzer.
My people right there.
That's right, the greats. James, what are you thinking here on last night on the Sixers? You worried? You concerned?
I'm not. I'm more with Rich. Yeah, look, I'm a little concerned if Embiid's knee is a real thing, you know, if that's going to be a problem moving forward like it was last night. But on the whole, they're better than the Hawks. It took Embiid playing as bad as he's played in a long time for them to lose by three. I think they'll be okay. Now, moving past the Hawks, I get a little more concerned, but I still feel pretty good.
Yeah, I am concerned. And what James just said there about them being better than the Hawks, I think we've all said this out loud or in a moment to ourselves at some point over the last week, and I agree with it. But, John, like in the playoffs, the process doesn't really matter. The results matter. Like, we'd all look at the Sixers and say, that's a better team than the Hawks. This is a 2-2 series. Like
and that's crazy.
The only thing that matters is the results in the playoffs.
When that reality hit me last night, it didn't feel right. When I saw that, like, on the screen, that series tied 2-2, it does not feel like it should be tied 2-2. I feel like we are so much better than this Hawks team. We've had a really bad half, you know, to start the series. And then yesterday we had, you know, another really bad half to end the fourth game. We are clearly, we can be so dominant. And we just fell apart for, you know, the span of a game, essentially, over these, you know, four games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that means I am confident that we can pull out of the nosedive that we finished the game on. And I still feel good about this team's chances, like in the grand scheme of things, because other teams have their issues, too. Just like, you know, Jimmy said, 0-for-12 in the second half, and we lost by 3. He's never going to go 0-for-12 again.
Yeah, we make ourselves feel better when we say those things. But
I know.
The bottom line is it's 2-2. It's 2-2.
That's the truth.
The sledgehammer's up. Mark College. What's up, Mark?
Richie, don't look, but we have an imposter in front of us. He says his name is Joe, and he's sitting in Joe's chair, but it's not Joe.
I know. Different Joe.
It's a different Joe. I snuck in under the guise of being a Joe.
I know. It's crazy. Don't make any sudden movements.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm kidding. What's up, Giglio?
How we doing, Mark? What are you thinking here?
I'm thinking that the Sixers need to stop making excuses and just own up that they were flat in the game and didn't come up and perform when they needed to. I mean, you lose by 3 points. There's no excuse. Mm-hmm. I mean, period. There's no excuse.
Well, it's a good way to say it. And yet they make excuses. Like after the game, I'm listening to Ben Simmons say he should have been more aggressive. I'm listening to Joel talk about, you know, obviously he wasn't feeling himself physically. But the bottom line is a loss is a loss. Like you lose two more. No one cares about the excuses.
After the game, Doc was finally irate.
Yeah, he was mad yesterday.
And I hope
dropped an F-bomb.
Yeah. And I hope that that is reflected in the way that he's dealing with this team right now. You know, we felt like he's been a little too coddling throughout, and hopefully that ended. It certainly seems like he's ready for a different approach.
Well, see, it's funny that you said that, Richie, because he has been coddling them a lot, and I think that's a reflection of how they're acting and how they're playing now, to where they probably feel, oh, well, you know, he's got our back. He ain't going to blow up or say anything or do anything. But now all of a sudden, he's getting upset. I think they're going to look at it as a joke, like, okay, yeah, whatever. You're just saying this to look good and whatnot. Like, you don't really mean it. Like, I'm not buying it. I don't know. I think he's just trying to save face. But at the same time, these guys, you know, I understand Embiid's knee is messed up. I understand it. I got it. But, you know, if he's feeling good enough to play, he should be able to play where he needs to. If not, sit down and let them figure it out. Simmons needs to step up. If he would have went to the line, oh man, don't attack me, don't foul me. I don't want to go to the line. Then get out of the league. Either go to the line, make the baskets, get the points so we can win the game and move on to the next round, or get out of the league. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be more complicated, Mark. Mark, who's your standout performer?
This standout performer, never duplicated, never replicated, and it'll never be done again. Wilt Chamberlain, 100-point game.
Wilt's 100-point game. At least one person on our station, afternoon producer Jack Fritz, doesn't believe actually happened. You know about that?
No.
Yeah. He thinks it's fake.
How?
There are a few people there, right?
There's no video of it.
Yeah, it's kind of word of mouth back from the 60s. We're talking about a long time ago. So his conspiracy theory is that Wilt never actually scored 100 in a game. All made up.
There are people who say, you know, there are a lot of stats thrown out about Wilt, that he ran a 4.6 in the 40, that he ran a 49 in the 400.
The 20,000 statistic, which is obvious. That's
too.
A lie. Mm-hmm. That's a lie. Come on.
I did see an article where people went back and checked some of those old track records from high school, and they determined that those were not accurate. So some of the things about Wilt may have grown over the years.
A legend, like Paul Bunyan, the Paul Bunyan of basketball.
Sorta.
So
I do believe that he scored 100 points.
But I see a seed of doubt was just planted in your mind.
A little bit.
215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard here. Sixers lose last night. The series is tied 2-2. Are you concerned? And we have a 4-pack of tickets. See the Reading fight in Phils versus the Rumble Ponies. Give us a standout performance. And when we get back, Ben Simmons is on the verge of making history. In fact, he's the second worst now in the history of the postseason at one thing. It's not good. We'll discuss that. Your calls in the Sixers. 215-592-9494. Joe Giglio in for Joe DeCamera alongside John Ritchie on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.